The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hello and welcome to this week's Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, and as usual, in today's show, I'll be homing in on some aspect of integrative medicine for cancer. The concept that people undergoing cancer treatment in UK hospitals find complementary therapies helpful in dealing with cancer, and particularly with coping with the side effects of conventional care, is now well established. The most requested therapies include massage, reflexology, aromatherapy, acupuncture, and healing. Although, of course, these are the most requested from those on offer, which is a very small slice of those that are available. Fernando Cabo is a very experienced shiatsu practitioner who has worked in hospitals in his homeland, Spain, but now also in the UK, and has supported many people with cancer. So I'm finding out more by talking to him over the phone in Spain, where he is on a visit home. Thanks very much for coming on the Yes to Life show today.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So, this is the first time I've done a show about shiatsu. Now, while most of our listeners are, I think, very savvy about the whole world of integrative medicine, there may be some who don't know what shiatsu is. So, would you give us a quick description of the therapy?
Shiatsu... The name means finger pressure in Japanese. It's a therapy of Japanese origin that is based on applying pressure on sections and points of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure is applied through the clothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you want the official definition, I don't know it by heart, but the official definition in Japan is something like is a therapy that applies pressure with the fingers and the palms on different sections and points of the body in order to promote health and promote the self-healing capacities of the body.
Okay, that's great. So it you could say that it falls in the realms of massage in some way, in as much as it's a hands-on application of pressure directly to the outside of the body. So there's a lot of different techniques of this type. Presumably that you've got some very sound arguments as to the unique qualities and the effects of shiatsu as opposed to any of the others.
Yes, well, I mean, first, yes, it is a hands-on bodywork technique. It has some similarities with massage, but it's different in the sense that it doesn't involve a friction like massage does. The difference, in my opinion, is first that, generally speaking, it is more relaxing than classical massage techniques. I also believe that it has a more profound effect on our nervous system, and. I mean, relaxation obviously is an effect on the nervous system, but I meant on balancing the autonomic nervous system. And because the autonomic nervous system control so many functions in the body, like the digestive function, immunity, etc., mm-hmm. I think is very beneficial. Well, I don't know if more beneficial than other modalities, but certainly very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's maybe you could give us an idea. I come along for a session of shiatsu. What do I expect? What would the experience of somebody be coming for a session of shiatsu?
That's a difficult question to answer because people experience it in many different ways. I have had patients who said literally, "What did you do to me? Oh, I felt like so spaced out. It took me a long time to come back to reality."
Mm-hmm.
In general, most people find it like a very calming and relaxing experience. Having said that, I have had people who, by their very nature, they have a huge resistance to relaxation, and they are fidgety during the whole session.
Right.
But in general, most people some people do fall asleep, but most people don't fall asleep, but they are in that half-awake state during the whole session.
Right, right.
That's the first thing one should expect. I mean, if we're talking about the after effect, it's different, again, how people experience the after effect, but most people find that it releases tension, yeah? I mean, like muscular tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then, apart from that, there are as many opinions as there are people.
Yes.
Some people that they had suddenly seen colors while they were receiving certain colors, while they were receiving the session. Other people who have told me that they felt like if there was some special warmth hitting their back.
Mm.
Other people, it's just like more mundane every day. So in that sense, if we're talking about sensations, there are as many as there are people who receive it, apart from the ones that are more common to everyone, like that half-awake state and relaxation and calming and releasing of tension.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And so in practical terms, what do people expect? They come along, what are you going to do? What are they expected to do?
Well, I mean, if it's a first session, shiatsu has like massage and like any type of body work, depends a little bit on, first on the style. There are different styles, different schools of thought, and of course it all depends on the therapist as well. Some therapists prefer one way of working, some other therapists prefer another way of working.
Sure.
So in that sense, there is not a common thing. Personally, I'm from receiving shiatsu from other people. The first thing, of course, is a consultation, just like any type of massage or complementary therapy.
Okay.
Knowing a little bit what is your condition, your health condition.
Yes.
In general, if you have any injuries, things like that. Then many shiatsu therapies start with what would be called like a energetic diagnosis according to traditional Chinese medicine principles. One of the characteristics of shiatsu is that it's treatment and diagnosis combined, which means that at the same time you're treating the person, you are pressing, you are trying to feel one particular point or one particular area of the body, and to feel that in comparison with the rest of the body.
Okay.
For me, again, one of the basic ideas of shiatsu is the creation of balance. And that balance can be explained in many ways. It can be explained in the simplest way, could be explained between right and left sides, between top and bottom sides of the body, between the front and the back of the body.
Okay.
In more complex ways, you can go and it could be explained as yin and yang, or hypertonic, hypotonic. And then you could go on to all the way to traditional Chinese medicine, the five elements and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is still the same concept. It is always the same concept. It's the concept of balance.
Okay. You used a few terms there that everybody won't necessarily be familiar with. Do you want to just explain them? You said yin and yang, and then you said hyper something. Do you want to explain those?
Yin and yang are two philosophical aspects of traditional Chinese medicine, which in body terms can be explained with excess and deficiency and other things. For example, they divide the whole world in two aspects,
mm-hmm.
yin and yang. So, for example, they say yang is the day, yin is the night. So you divide the day between day and night.
Okay.
You could divide the year between summer and spring and winter and autumn, for example. And so you divide everything in two.
Okay.
Same thing. Inside the body, you divide the organs between those organs that are yin and those organs that are yang. For example, the stomach is yang while the spleen is yin. And everything. Now, the division is never-ending.
Okay.
Although, once you have divided that, that thing can be divided again into etc., etc. But what is important is, again, for me at least, is this concept of balance. If you talk in terms of muscles, yin and yang is basically hypotonic and hypertonic. You have some hypertonic muscles and some hypotonic muscles. And what I'm trying is to reduce the hypertonic muscles and increase the hypotonic so that all muscles are more balanced inside the body.
Right.
Once you achieve balance, that's when pains and aches disappear or at least are reduced.
Okay. And those two terms are actually referring to the amount of stress or tension in the muscles?
They can refer to the amount of tension, In general, knots create hypertonicity.
Okay.
The problem with muscles, let me explain.
Okay.
Shiatsu is a holistic therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Holistic just means that we believe the whole body is connected. Yeah, you cannot just... In fact, this is the big difference with most massage techniques. Massage techniques, when, for example, one muscle is in tension, they just work on that muscle. We don't. We still work on the whole body.
Okay.
Because the whole body is connected. You cannot just have one muscle tense and nothing happens to the rest of the body. The
mm-hmm.
body doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a knot in one muscle, that means that another muscle becomes flaccid. When you work on certain muscles a lot and neglect others, the other muscles become weaker because you have been working only part of the body.
Right.
So that happens the same. Whether you talk in muscles or in organs, the liver is not just an organ that is isolated from the rest of the body. The liver has an effect on the rest of the organs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, yeah? You cannot just think, oh, I have this problem with the liver. I mean, that's the difference, again, I guess, with Western medical thought, that they tend to isolate things, so you have a problem there. Which is very useful. I'm not negating the usefulness of that. That's very useful, for example, when it's an acute problem that you need surgery, you need to think that way. But when you're thinking more about health in more general terms, then we always think as I said, that the whole body is connected, that you cannot just have a problem in your liver, that you cannot just have a knot in one muscle, but that is affecting the rest of your body, and that's why you need to treat the whole body.
Right.
And the way to treat the whole body, in my opinion, is that is creating balance.
Right.
Well, not in my opinion, I think it's a concept in traditional Chinese medicine. And the balance can be thought in terms of muscles, it can be thought in terms of nervous system, it can be thought in terms of organs according to traditional Chinese medicine. The organs have different conception in traditional Chinese medicine than Western medicine.
Yes.
So when I mean yin and yang, this is eternal. Yeah? You could be discussing what is yin and what is yang. It's the idea, more than that, is just to create the balance between what is in excess and what is in deficient.
I see. Okay.
From any aspect of your life, you could add it from the left brain, right brain. You need a balance between the two.
Yeah, makes complete sense.
You could add it from sympathetic, parasympathetic systems. You need a balance between the two. Health, I mean, it's not a foreign concept to Western medicine.
No.
Western medicine is talking about homeostasis, which is basically the same thing.
Yes.
You need homeostasis for your body to be healthy.
Yes.
And so it's basically the same thing in that sense. So you could then choose how to divide it more in terms of Western physiological terms or traditional Chinese medicine, but I think the principle is the same. It's homeostasis or balance, whatever you prefer to call it.
Okay, so you said you have the person comes in, you give them a short consultation to find out about their condition and everything. So in terms of the actual session itself, how long would a session be? I think you said people keep their clothes on. Are they sitting? Are they lying? How does it all happen?
Generally sessions are for 1 hour. That's the most typical.
Yeah.
Of course, it can be adapted. And the typical thing is for them to lie down, either on a futon or on a low table or on a low couch. Of course, again, that can be adapted depending on the condition. I've given shiatsu to people in wheelchairs, and
right.
Of course, I don't ask them to get off the wheelchair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be adapted, but yeah, for most people, it's just they arrive, they lie down, they normally if they wear loose clothing is better, but that's what we usually ask them to wear, but it's not necessary. It just makes the experience more comfortable, more pleasurable.
Yeah, so there's no need for direct contact with the skin. It's just the pressure working, so it works just as well through the clothing.
It does. I mean, there is some contact with the skin, because obviously you don't have anything over your neck or your head or your face. So if you're working on those areas or the hands, so there is direct contact on the skin, but on the rest of the body, there's usually no direct contact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pressure. So you don't need pressure through clothing is the same as without it.
Yeah.
In fact, I have heard that in Japan, when some people prefer not to wear clothes to receive it, they use something like rice powder, something similar to talcum powder, so that pressure is easier to be applied.
Mm.
Yeah, I haven't experienced it myself, so I cannot say anything about it.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So maybe you can just tell us briefly what the origins of the therapy are. You know, is it very old? You mentioned it comes from Japan. Can you say more about it?
Well, the origins. I'm not so sure. I can tell very much, and they are discussing it. Several shiatsu associations, because they're trying to find some common things, because I believe many myths have been created. I think the shiatsu itself began being developed in the late 19th, early 20th century. I'm not so sure about it. Okay, the name shiatsu itself, I believe, is from 1905. However, obviously, shiatsu is based on something that was there before, on different techniques that were already used in Japan. And again, I'm not an expert on this, but if I understand it correctly, what happened, it is based on one type of therapy called AMMA, which was imported from China. I believe in China they call it Tuina. And what shiatsu did was basically get rid of all the techniques that was not applying pressure from AMMA, and just concentrate on that technique and, in my opinion, improve it from what AMMA does. And then that was the origins. And then it added elements from other techniques, including Ampuku, which is like a kind of abdominal massage. And so it took techniques from AMMA to Ina, from Ampuku, and I believe there was also some influence from some Western, new Western techniques that entered Japan in the 20th century, like osteopathy. Well, we could say in its present form, shiatsu is a 20th century development.
I see.
Although, obviously, it was based on things that existed before.
Okay, great. So I'm really interested to talk to you in particular about this therapy because you've got more experience than most people have in working with people with cancer. You're Spanish and your work with cancer began before you arrived here in the UK. Can you tell us about your work in Spain?
My work in Spain, I did a little bit with cancer, but not very much. With cancer has been mostly since I arrived in the UK.
Okay.
In Spain, I was doing a lot of work with children on dialysis, mostly children who are born with defective kidneys. And that was my my first and longest experience in hospitals, where we used to give shiatsu before they were connected to the machines. They have to have their blood cleansed for 3 to 4 hours. They have to have that done for 3 days a week until they have a kidney transplant, basically. And so, my experience in hospitals in Spain was mostly with that, although I also took part in a pilot project with shiatsu for fibromyalgia. That was only a pilot project that lasted for 10 weeks. And I did a little bit in intensive care unit, again, pediatric intensive care unit. Again, that was for a short time. So my longest was with that. I treated some cancer patients, but that was mostly like private cancer patients.
Understood.
Who asked me to help them. And again, it was mostly the ones I saw in Spain were only like terminal cases. It's not like my experience in the UK, which I've seen all kinds of cases. So it was very, very limited in that sense, my experience with cancer in Spain.
But in terms of your experience working with the health service in hospital, you had quite extensive experience. And was that something that was initiated by the hospital? Were you actually applying for a post that was advertised, or was it something you initiated?
No, the program was not initiated by me at all.
Okay.
The program was initiated because one doctor in that hospital, the doctor in charge of the dialysis department, was a shiatsu patient. And so the therapist told the doctor, why don't you start up a voluntary service and we could go there and give it to the children. And so the doctor agreed. That's how that project started.
Okay.
Now, what happened is that one day, it was a man, curiously enough, who was a nurse, and he was in charge of all the nurses in the hospital, saw us coming out, and asked, "Oh, what are you doing there?" And he became very interested.
Mm.
And that's how he set up the other projects there.
I see.
Just because he saw us.
Yeah.
But obviously, the first project was done by the doctor, basically, and the second one was done by the head nurse.
Yeah, okay, I understand. And was this this work with the children, was this something that was part of a trial of some kind, in as much as they were collecting data, or was it just done, just because it was seen to be helpful?
Yes, they did. They did collect some. They collected some data for about 1 month.
Okay.
During that month, apparently people on dialysis get very sudden drops of blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
and they get headaches. And what they found was that not only they had fewer drops, but they were not so sudden. They were, let's say, smoother. Yeah, the mm-hmm. drop was not like immediate. It took a little bit longer for the drop, apart from having fewer drops. And the children as well reported fewer headaches.
Yeah.
So those were the two finds. However, they only collected data, I believe it was for 6 weeks,
right.
the collection
yeah.
of data.
Yeah.
So it was not a long-term study or anything like that.
No. But anyway, interesting. It clearly seemed to be helping them. So subsequently, you moved over here to the UK, and I understand you were keen to carry on working with the health service here. Can you tell us about your experience?
Okay, all right. Well, my first experience in London was being rejected for voluntary work. Apparently, they didn't want shiatsu. They thought shiatsu was not appropriate, and I was rejected by a few hospitals before I found one, Whips Cross Hospital, that accepted me.
Mm-hmm. So was this... This was specifically for cancer patients, is that right?
Yeah, mostly. I did apply as well for a pilot project with dialysis. That was only a pilot project. I think it was 12 weeks. That's something I applied for as well.
Right, which made sense, of course. That was your area of expertise in a way. You've got a whole background in that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, apart from that, I applied for cancer patients because that's the most widespread in the UK.
Yes.
For complementary therapies in hospitals is for cancer patients.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the only one, but it's the most widespread.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one for which most hospitals have some complementary therapies in place is in oncology.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what I applied for.
Mm.
And then I found one hospital that that accepted me, that was Whips Cross,
mm-hmm.
which at that time did mostly was with outpatients. We did a few inpatients, but there was and is mostly with outpatients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Whips Cross is part of Bath Health Trust,
mm-hmm.
and the trust apparently wanted to extend it to another hospital, St. Bart's. And that was extended, again, first to outpatients, but not like at Whips. At Whips is with appointments. So at St. Bart's, they do it while people are waiting to receive their chemotherapy or while they're doing the chemotherapy. And then it was extended to inpatients, which is where I am now.
Mm, right. So... I mean, interesting, you had this experience of actually being turned down quite a lot to start with. And it's a bit strange in a way because, massage and reflexology have to be two of the most popular therapies on offer at these places. It seems strange there's a resistance to shiatsu. Why do you think that is?
Well, I am not sure. I mean, it's a question I've been asking myself, hospitals via emails and telephone conversations, other shiatsu therapists, and I'm not sure I can give a clear answer to that. I have no idea. Only two people of all the multiple emails I've written to many hospitals, only two people on the phone told me. There was one woman who said to me that because there was not a study on the safety of shiatsu,
right,
which surprised me a lot. Because I mean, both replies, usually they don't reply, or
right,
they just reply, oh no, we cannot introduce another therapy or things like that. And then another person told me, oh, it's because it's painful, and when I offered him to show on him, and I said, I can show on you, and on whoever you want to tell me, on the nurses, the personnel, the staff, that this is not the case. He refused. So
right,
he said, it is painful, but I don't let you show me that it's not.
That's what you call resistance, that is.
Yes, that's right. And then the other person from another hospital who said that about the safety. And again, that surprised me because from a logical point of view, it's impossible to prove the safety of anything. You cannot prove a negative. All you can prove is that so far there have been no cases.
Right.
But the safety means that forever, for eternity.
Yeah.
And of course, there have been in the research literature, there are cases of massage having caused, let's say, harmful effects in some cases. I mean, I could discuss about whether this research has been properly done or not, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
What I mean is that there isn't any proof anywhere that massage is safer than shiatsu.
Right.
Which is what I pointed out to this person on the phone. But again, I just said, well, can you point to me where is the safety of massage? Where does it prove it? And her reply is, oh, no, I'm not doing your homework.
Right.
You will have to find the research by yourself.
Yeah.
So she complains about shiatsu not having the research, but she refuses to point out the research for massage.
Right.
So these are my experiences about being turned down.
Yeah.
And all the others never replied.
Mm. So do you think it's different in the UK to Spain? And if so, why?
The first difference is that complementary therapies in the NHS is much more extensive, much more extended in the UK than in Spain.
It is, right, okay.
In Spain there are very few hospitals with complementary therapies.
Okay.
That's the first difference. The second difference is that you have in the hospital you have a proper complementary therapies department. In the UK, you don't have a complementary therapies department in hospitals in Spain. What you have is doctors or nurses who are interested, and therefore they introduce it in the department.
So it's more ad hoc.
It is completely ad hoc in Spain.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like in the UK. You even have governance documents in the UK for how complementary therapies have to be done and adapted and things like that.
Mm.
You don't have anything like that in Spain. It's more like if patients, or in the case for me, because I was with children, if the parents consented, then it is okay.
Mm.
We don't have any. We didn't have to present the business cases like you do in the UK to be admitted for this.
Yeah. So it's a sort of.
It is more formal.
Yes, I understand.
No, that's the first difference.
Yeah.
So now, what happens, of course, is that in the UK, in the end, the person in charge of complementary therapies for any particular hospital can decide which therapies they want to introduce or they don't.
Right.
As you can see, they can even refuse to give me the opportunity to show it on the staff.
Yeah.
So in that sense, again, they have more power.
Yes.
So because it's more formal, they have more power, because in Spain, all I have to do is convince one particular doctor in charge of a department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a swings and roundabouts thing, isn't it? Regulation. Yeah, the regulation it makes, it creates a situation where that we do actually have more of it here, but of course it's much harder to innovate.
That's right. It's more widespread, but it's much more difficult to innovate. And if the persons in charge do not know. And by the way, I've been rejected recently again. That was for neurology. That was at the insistence of one of my colleagues. I didn't want. I said she's a reflexologist at UCLH.
Yes.
And I said, look, they do not accept. She has. They're not going to accept. She has. And she said, oh, you don't understand. Things change. Let me ask.
All right.
And of course, when I saw her again, she said to me, no, they said she has. It's not acceptable.
There you go.
She's in neurology there, not in cancer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, well, you see, I told you they were going to reject me. That's part of my experience, and I mean, that's the difference. It's very ad hoc in Spain compared to the UK.
So with all the experience you have working with cancer, you're clearly very committed to the idea that shiatsu has a lot to offer to people with cancer, maybe particularly when they're undergoing treatment. I'd like you now to be as specific as you can about situations in which you found shiatsu to be the most helpful.
Okay. Well, one of the most helpful is for pain management. A very clear case. I did my master's dissertation on precisely that, on shiatsu for pain management in cancer patients, cancer inpatients, I should say. And the most dramatic, the best improvement I saw was with this person who had a kind of brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And he was very young. His girlfriend was there. And I still remember one day him telling me that he had taken opioids the day before, his pain hadn't gone away,
right,
and his pain was much reduced with my treatment. That was the most extreme case, of course. Not everybody experiences that. I think out of 36 patients I asked, only one person didn't experience any improvement.
Right.
All the others. So you can help them with pain, and cancer pain is very strange, as you know. I mean, it's in many cases it's not clear why it is there.
Right.
Breakthrough pain can appear out of nowhere for no reasons the doctors know. And I think it can help with pain. Apart from that, I mean, I certainly, because of its relaxing effects, I have helped people who found sleeping very difficult. So it always helps them with insomnia. Although, again, having said that, in many cases, insomnia in cancer patients is related to the pain.
Right.
Apart from that, help them generally feel a little bit less anxious, I guess. To a much lesser extent, I have helped people with some mobility issues, but that's not, as with the rest I've said, in which it helps much more.
Yeah, I'm saying.
So I would say those are
those the key areas.
The most important cases.
Well, pain's a big one. So, you know, that's fantastic if it can help with that. Because, as you say, with the best will in the world and all the best drugs, doctors can't always handle pain.
No, it is difficult. Yeah, especially in cancer, it's a very difficult subject. Yeah, so I mean, the more you can help them, the better.
Yeah. Okay. So, in terms of contraindications, reasons why you wouldn't have shiatsu, I assume there are some. What sort of thing do you look out for?
Well, if we're talking about cancer patients in particular, the total contraindication is DVT or blood clots. if they have any blood clots, you cannot. For instance, the most typical is one leg.
Yes.
But again, in cancer patients, sometimes it's one arm. Then you cannot work on that leg or that arm, or you cannot give shiatsu there.
Okay.
You cannot give massage either, by the way. So that's the biggest contraindication. And then when there is a high fever, that's total contraindication. Then you have the local contraindications, which is like the tumor area.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if they have a brain tumor, you cannot work on the head. That's about it, basically. No more total contraindications. Now, the only other contraindication is the same as for healthy people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If any particular areas or points on the body are too sensitive, and you cause pain when pressing, then you either press very lightly or you don't press at all.
I see. Yeah.
Now, with cancer patients, it's only the only case it happened to me is with bed sores.
Yes.
But again, it's very curious because some people it provides relief when you press, but some other people it causes pain. So it depends on the individual. More than the bed sore itself, yeah, because it's done through clothing, yeah. So some people, they say, no, it relieves a lot, yeah, when you press. So I do, and other people say, oh, no, it's painful, so I don't.
Right.
And I don't know why, and of course nobody knows why. This is what happens. So the contraindication is basically, it's saying, if it's painful. And so to me, it's only happened like that in two cases, one for bed sores, another one for osteoporosis, in which a small area on the shoulder was very painful, so I didn't touch that area, and the other person, I didn't touch the bed sore.
So just common sense.
What I do is ask anything that causes anything, I will touch touch very lightly.
Okay. So, Yes to Life and the Yes to Life show is broadly followed by a mix of people with cancer and practitioners of various kinds. So, inevitably, there's going to be a fair number of practitioners listening today. Do you have anything to say to practitioners who may be thinking of training as a shiatsu therapist?
I think shiatsu is a wonderful therapy with which you can help a lot of people. I think its effects are appreciated certainly by a majority of people, and I think it's very versatile. As I explained before, now I'm with inpatients, so I give it to patients in their bed. They don't have to get out of bed.
Right.
They don't even have to. If they're cold, you can do it through the blanket. You don't even have to take the blanket, something that obviously a massage therapist cannot do. So in that sense, it's very versatile. I do it with people sitting on a sofa or whatever. So it can help people in many different situations, let's say. And it always helps them. Even if it's a little bit, some of them you're going to help only a little, some of them you're going to help a lot. And some of them perhaps nothing at all, in my experience, it's a tiny minority that you cannot help, at least in a small degree. So So if you like helping people in the health aspect, well, you should try it, why not? Only thing, it takes longer than other types of body work, but certainly to train, but certainly less than osteopathy or chiropractic.
Right.
So,
and
it's in between.
Would you have something to say to somebody who's already a shiatsu practitioner, but they've never treated people with cancer?
I think they should try to get it out there. For example, I don't know, I was in contact with a hospital in Manchester. I don't remember the name of the hospital, but the name is Christie's.
Yeah, Christie's, that's right.
I think it's the biggest complementary therapy charities in hospitals in the UK.
That's right.
And they told me that they accept shiatsu, but they haven't got anyone volunteering there with shiatsu.
Really? Wow.
That they had one a few years ago, and that nobody else has volunteered there. So for the shiatsu therapies, please, the more you volunteer in places where it is accepted,
yes,
the more it will be accepted in other places.
Exactly.
Nobody volunteers for the places that where it is accepted. And in fact, where I am, my manager, the last few times he has asked for volunteers, not one from shiatsu has volunteered. Or he always gets reflexologists and massage therapists, because he now offers the Bowen technique, so he has Bowen technique again.
Yes.
And now he's introducing biodynamic massage, I don't even know. And he gets volunteers from all those things, and from shiatsu he finds it difficult. So I don't know if I can appeal to the shiatsu therapist.
Yes.
Please try it. I mean,
yeah, do.
Very few, certainly, I know in Bristol it is quite accepted, shiatsu in a hospital at least, because there is a charity, and certainly, I don't remember, for this breast cancer charity, it is a big thing there.
Yes.
But I'm surprised, because Manchester is a big city, so
yes,
there must be some shiatsu therapists who can give part of the time, and go to the Christie's and have it more accepted everywhere.
Well, maybe too many of them had the kind of experience you had of getting rejected, and they've just kept away. But anyway, good to hear your encouragement. So we're just about out of time, but I just wondered if you could advise listeners how they should go about finding a properly trained practitioner, in particular, if there's someone with cancer.
How to find a properly trained practitioner for cancer. It is difficult. I mean, you have the different associations. Personally, I belong to the CNHC, so you could look up there, shiatsu practitioners on the CNHC.
Okay.
Then you have the other associations. The shiatsu society is more specific to shiatsu, but other people, because they belong to other associations like the FHT or the Complementary Therapies Association, and I'm sure there are a few others around there. So you could go to different associations and look up who's a shiatsu practitioner. But I think the easiest is probably, depending on where you live, to look up on the internet shiatsu practitioners and then check the website and check if their experience and where they trained and which association they belong to, more than the other way around. Just check individual therapies, websites, and see their experience and what they do and their interest and all that.
So there are several regulatory bodies they could be a member of, but in fact, as concerns cancer, the only thing you've got to go on is whether they have some experience in that field or not. There's no particular
That's
training.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there is nothing. Actually, I don't know if somebody else is doing, together with my manager, we begin a program of it's more specific to shiatsu with cancer at the hospital. But of course, that's London-based. I don't know if other hospitals would like to do something similar. I mean, I know the Christie's in Manchester does many things like that, but it's the only other one I know of. Again, the only ones I know however, I mean, I'm sure that again, as I say, Bristol is another place where I know they offer shiatsu for cancer patients in hospitals. So I'm sure there are a few shiatsu practitioners there who are experienced.
Right.
But apart from that, I don't know.
That makes complete sense to go to somewhere where you know, people are actually regularly working with cancer patients. So, yeah. Okay, well, that's fantastic. We're going to have to end there, Fernando. Thank you very much. Great to talk to somebody who really has such an in-depth knowledge of the territory and also lots of experience working with people with cancer. So really great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's interesting to see the double-edged sword of regulation at work. Regulation is clearly a path to make more possible, but it's also a great stifler of innovation and initiative. Look on the Yes to Life website for details and material mentioned in today's show. That's yestolife.org.uk. Just click the show logo that's on the homepage. Two events coming up in the Yes to Life calendar. The brilliant Jane McClelland is talking about her new book, How to Starve Cancer Without Starving Yourself, on the 30th of October in St Luke's Community Centre, Shoreditch, London. And on the 1st of December, the big one, the Yes to Life Annual International Conference, a full day in Conway Hall, London, with, as usual, an amazing lineup of leading thinkers and practitioners pushing forward the agenda for integrative medicine. Don't hesitate, book now, as last year was a sellout. Details and tickets for both events can be found on the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, on the events page. I'll be back next week with another Yes to Life show, and I hope you can listen. Goodbye.